Joining me in studio this morning is the just-announced candidate for the 9th District seat in the Oregon House of Representatives, Claire Lynn. Good morning.
Thanks so much for having me. It was very important to me that my first radio interview as a candidate be back where it all started. I was on Viking Hour, and that's where I first got to know you, George.
When you, in fact, you gave me a sweatshirt, R&R King Logging sweatshirt. I still have that. And I wear it.
Good sweatshirts.
It is. They are good.
Yes.
So when you were on Viking Hour, let's go back a little bit here and talk about your history. Did you have any idea that this is where you would be today?
Probably not exactly here, but right. I definitely knew I wanted to go work to try to make a difference in our community and in our state. And so that's always been a focus for me.
So when you graduated from CyUSAW, you went to George Fox for 2 years?
Just 1 year.
1 year.
Played a year of college softball and then transferred to Oregon State. And then I actually joined the women's choir. So I did a 180 flip there and so enjoyed my time getting to sing and make music. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So at what point did you start looking into politics and start helping out in areas like that?
Yeah, well, right out of high school, I interned for the city of Florence for 2 years and was able to help. Florence became the 24th Coast Guard city in the U.S. and was able to plan that celebration. I helped with our 125th anniversary block party, which was our first block party, I believe, in the summer of 2018. And then interned for Congressman Greg Walden during college and worked on a state Senate campaign right out of high school.
But I was talking to Boomer the other day.
Out of college.
Out of college, yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to Boomer the other day, and he mentioned Washington. What was that like for you?
It was an incredible experience. I worked for Congressman Cliff Bentz and then went on to become a press assistant in a different office. And getting to work on Capitol Hill was amazing. I got to give U.S. Capitol tours to constituents that came from Oregon, which for a history buff like me was my favorite part of it all. And getting to go to the museums on the weekend and be part of that process at a federal level was super exciting.
What about your education from young age, you know, elementary, middle, high school to college? What about that prepared you for this now looking back? Because you said you didn't really think about it at that point. But looking back, what prepared you the most for this?
I would say, you know, one of my favorite teachers still is, when I reflect back on my time, was Sean O'Mara. And I'm proud to have his endorsement and Jody O'Mara's endorsement as well in this race. He challenged me in U.S. government and history. We had intense Western civilization classes that I took in college U.S. history. And he challenged us to look at the world in different ways and understand events that have happened throughout our nation's history and be prepared for the future in that way.
What's interesting is that historically people say that being a lawyer is the best prep for being, you know, in Congress, but I take a different step. I think history is one of the best preparations for doing this, knowing your history and knowing how things have come to be. And I guess you kind of mirror that with your comments there.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. So Boomer's stepping aside. You've got to run here. What's some of the messaging you want to get out to folks to, you know, let them know what your desires for the district is?
Yeah. First and foremost, I am a representative for the people here and for this district. One of the things that I think often gets forgotten about state legislators is that we have the opportunity, our offices do, to be a liaison for people with our state agencies. So that can look like a myriad of different things, but Oregon Veterans Affairs, for example, helping veterans that need access to services. My office can help with that, and I want to be known as the most accessible and open office to constituents in that regard. So it goes far beyond just policymaking, but trying to be a bridge for people that need help. Getting on the Oregon Health Plan would be another good example. How do we access the services that our state provides?
So being that conduit for information and correct information for folks that live in the district is important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, what about on a statewide level? Obviously, you'll be representing, you know, this coastal district that goes down the coast, down into Coos Bay and that. What are some of the things that you have learned as you've been working in this area that are important to folks on the coast?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the broad array of this district. So just for folks listening who might not know, House District 9 has Western Lane County, so rural Elmira, Vinita, Crow, Lorain, west on 126, Mapleton, down into Florence, and then we've got part of Douglas County with Reedsport, and then a big chunk of Coos County with Coos Bay, North Bend, and Charleston. So very broad district, big district territory-wise. But I really have three priorities when it comes down to it. So focusing on cost of living and what can we do for real solutions to bring down our cost of living. We are the seventh most regulated state in the nation. We've dropped 11 places to 39th in CNBC's business friendliness climate. When we talk about business friendliness, that affects everything in our state's culture and viability and making this a healthy place to live, work, and raise a family.
From small business to big business. I mean, it just doesn't affect big business, but small business really can hurt from some of that.
Yeah, we have a devastating corporate activities tax that is that businesses have to place. It's essentially a hidden sales tax businesses have to place when they're invoicing people or even at the grocery store. We, as consumers, feel those prices placed onto us every day. And I think instead of just, we hear cost of living as a talking point a lot, but one of the things our state legislature just did in the past 6 month long legislative session, we passed unemployment insurance for striking workers. We're the first state in the nation for both public and private employees. And our schools said we can't afford this. Our city said we can't afford this. And our counties and the legislative majority said we're going to do it anyway. And House Republicans are going to introduce a bill in this next session to say things aren't going well right now in our business climate. Let's repeal it and get back to the basics. And I'm hoping we can be willing, there can be some conversation there, because now is not the time to be doing those first in the nation policies.
Obviously, adding more taxes is never really a good thing if you can avoid it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, recently, the city of Florence just passed a public safety fee that they've added on to their utility bills to help for law enforcement and public safety and that, because it's really constrictive where the money comes from in order to, you know, maintain safety in that. What does that play a role in your priorities?
I would say, I think when we talk about local bond measures or a local public safety fee, people are always more willing to pay more for services that are local and are central to them. But in Salem, when we talk about things at the state level, when our state continually raises taxes, a great example being the recent $4.3 billion gas tax, that makes it very hard for local families to afford local taxes, because there's always bigger taxes coming down from the state level. And so where I hope to help is minimizing those continual tax increases at the state level.
What are some of the other things that you would like to see if you're elected into the position?
Definitely, we need to prioritize public safety. We say a lot that budgets reflect priorities, and public safety has just not been made a priority in the Oregon legislature. We've passed laws allowing violent criminals back onto our streets pre-trial, and we've introduced bills to try to look at that law, repeal that law. They've never received hearings. I will continue to elevate that conversation. And when we say budgets reflect priorities, we spend almost double on non-citizen healthcare than we do for our Oregon State Police. And that, I don't believe that shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is what people expect from their government, is basic, fundamental public services. And public safety is one of those things that people expect out of their government. And then education. We've got to make a difference in our kids' education. We rank 50th in the nation for fourth grade reading scores. And again, another reality. I don't want to be the doomsday here, but what does our legislature do? This past six-month-long legislative session, we passed a bill mandating climate change curriculum in every K through 12 classroom. That should not be the priority. We need our kids to be able to read, write, do math, give them the tools they need to go be successful. And with that comes offering more school choices. Education is not a one-size-fits-all situation. For some kids and families, that could look like homeschool or charter school or a private school. And we need to be willing to the experts, willing to listen to the experts, which are our teachers and our parents, and not bureaucrats in Salem.
So I think I hear what you're saying in that, too, is that some responsibilities for certain topics should be a family's responsibility to teach their children, and the school should be there to get basics down so that these students enter the workforce with at least a basic knowledge of how to perform duties.
Yep, absolutely.
And work. This is the beginning of a long road.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There'll be ups and downs.
Yes.
How do you feel are you pretty much stalwart in fighting those hard times that are going to come up through this? Because I know for some reason or another, politics has gotten to where, you know, it can't be just about, you know, the priorities. And I'd like to see that return. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just about the priority. It's not about all the other minutia mm-hmm. that people want to throw in, the negative stuff, the hurtful stuff and all this stuff. There's a lot of negative attacks in advertising for campaigns and stuff like okay. that versus this is what I want to do for the state. So, I mean, obviously you have to point out things that are bad that are happening, mm-hmm. but the positive aspect of moving forward and saying, this is why you should vote for me because I bring these positive mm-hmm. aspects, which do you find the more compelling for your campaign?
Oh, absolutely. Focusing on the priorities that I've laid out here today and going around and what I hope to do is visit as many businesses that I can, local small businesses, and say, how can I be an advocate for you? Tell me your challenges. Are there state policies that are barriers to you, and how can we remove those? So staying laser focused on being an advocate and listening to the people on the ground.
And there are still a lot, I believe, there are still a lot of people out there who will vote for somebody because of their integrity, because of their character, and because of their message versus one party or the other. And so how do you hope to appeal to both sides of the spectrum?
Just by being me. There are so many relationships in this community that I've built from just my years growing up, and I've continued to stay in contact with people. We recently talked, George, about Steve Olnick, who we just lost, and he was a very dear friend to me, and I will forever be grateful that I got to sit down and hear about his time in World War II, and just relationships like my relationship with Steve. I think that can surpass political parties or divisive topics, and I just hope that if there are people that I have known throughout my life that maybe identify with a different political party than me, that we can still sit down, have a cup of coffee, and talk about the issues or find places where we do agree, even if there are certain subjects that we don't.
How do you hope to introduce yourself to the Reedsport and the Coos Bay community, who will also be involved in the voting for this district?
Really just spending time on the ground. My dad's parents live in Reedsport, and so and actually my second distant family, I've got cousins there, now second cousins who were in the local school system. So building upon those relationships that I have. And then Coos Bay North Bend, like I said, going to as many small businesses as possible. We've got some very great advocates. The Oregon Anglers Alliance, the fishing community is huge, and helping to be a good advocate for all of our natural resource industries, from timber to ranching to fishing and everything else in between.
Will you be doing town halls and things like that as well? Or do you plan on or hope to do that?
I hope to, yeah, host community events and provide forums where people can come, hear a little bit about who I am, my platform, and ask questions and get to know me.
You know what? It's been amazing getting to know you and getting to watch you through this process there. I'm so pleased that you are doing this. Not a lot of people would take this on because it's a lot of work.
It's
tough.
Yes.
But I think you got the stomach for it, so good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Claire Lynn, everybody.